welcome everybody to a very special edition of A Cast of the Past, because in this podcast we usually dedicate an entire episode to a movie, a video game, a television show, or we're catching up on things like the Resident Evil 2 remake, talking about Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, but every now and then it's just cool to just sit back and chill as friends and catch up on the other things that we don't necessarily have a chance to talk about in the podcast. And whether it's because it's just not something we think would make an interesting conversation, or maybe one of us has played something and the other two haven't. So this is an off the rails episode. I literally titled it A Cast of the Future, just so we have a title.
We need a name.
Yeah.
We need a name, people.
Help us.
So for now, it's A Cast of the Future, and it's your mission to change that.
Have no originality. Help us.
Dude.
You know, off the rails isn't that bad either.
Yeah, off the rails
is
not good.
Now that you say it.
It's like the old Michael Landsberg show that you guys probably have no idea what I'm talking about because it was Canadian only. Off the record?
I have
You never heard of Off the Record?
Oh, wait. Oh, I have heard of that.
A lot of wrestlers.
Did he interview a bunch of wrestlers?
Yeah, like a bunch of wrestlers from the Attitude Era would be on it.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up.
That's one of the five off-character Undertaker interviews that exist, isn't it?
It's the show where Sable told China that she was on steroids.
Oh,
wow. That is amazing.
Good
also
time.
Amazing is that my name is Juan Velas. I'm from Puerto Rico. And then one of the lovely people that makes a part of A Cast of the Past a possibility from Boston, Mass, we have Ryan McNulty. Ryan, what is your go-to cheat meal? Whenever you just want to like gorge out, what do you choose?
Pizza, probably pizza.
Cheese, pepperoni.
My ideal pizza, probably sausage, pepperoni, onions. Maybe
I'm just
peppers
gonna,
too.
I'm just going to throw this out there because I feel this is a natural conversation whenever we talk about pizza. Pineapples. Talk to me.
Yeah. What's wrong with them on pizza?
Right? Right,
a Hawaiian,
Keith, from London, Ontario.
A Hawaiian pizza is fine.
I'm not hardcore against it. I am more like, I will never order it, but if you put that in front of me, I'm probably going to eat it, but it's not ideal. I eat a lot of pizza. I actually started a pizza review Instagram that I've been doing.
Really?
Which I don't even think I've told you guys
why
about.
Haven't you plugged this here before? Yes, Jesus, plug your Instagram.
I somehow grabbed the name Boston Pizza Reviews. So if you want to check it
out. That's a good get considering the restaurant chain Boston Pizza.
Considering I'm like 5 years late to the Instagram game, it's not bad. But it's made me a lot more critical of pizza, but don't get me wrong. I'll still eat Domino's like nobody's business. So don't worry about that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Domino's Brooklyn pepperoni. Is it the greatest pizza ever made?
Brooklyn. So it's got the super large.
It's like a thin crust with the just like giant pepperonis on it.
It's definitely not the best. If I have to go Domino's, I'm definitely going deep dish style because I think that is their best option. But pizza, now I always like to go local. And in fact, when I went on a trip to New York, I went to maybe five different pizza places because I wanted to try so many places. I was there for 4 days, I think.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you do in New York.
But there's some places where you can just grab a slice.
That's
literally just grab, which any place that I could, I would. And for me in New York, there was a place called John's on Bleecker Street that was hyped up as the best pizza ever. There's a guy, Barstool Sports, I don't know if you guys have heard of it. I know you're not big sports people, but they're pretty big. And there's a guy there who lives in New York. He's from Boston, but he does pizza reviews pretty much every single day in all over New York and when he travels other parts of the country too. So naturally that's where I get a lot of inspiration to review pizza. But he hyped up this place, John's on Bleecker Street, which was a coal fire style pizza, which those are very good.
Those
if you've
are
ever
very
had coal
good.
Fire.
Yeah, very good.
I honestly was like, you know, I expected so much more because I expected the world with the way it was hyped up. But for me in New York, there's a place called Francesco's that I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And it was not too far from Central Park. So if you're ever back in New York, Juan, I know you go every once in a while. Yeah. If you ever find yourself in New York, I highly recommend Francesco's. There's a lot of places that I didn't have a chance to try, but of the ones I had, that was definitely by far the best.
Man, I want
that's the best thing
now.
About traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The key to New York. I figured out the key to New York and why everything tastes so good there.
Tell us,
it's
tell
the
us.
Bread. It is 100% the bread. Something
that
with
makes
the
sense,
water.
Because New York bagels are so good.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have like a deli roll or something, it's like really fluffy and
that's
amazing.
True.
It's the bread. So it's the crust of the pizza that makes it so good. Because I was reading an article about the water, apparently.
I read that the other day. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a combination. So apparently it has, I forget what the content of the water is, but it was like, it's a thing called like soft water is the term they use. And apparently the only place besides New York that has softer water, I'm using finger quotations for the audio listeners, is Boston. But the thing is, it's apparently like a Goldilocks thing where Boston water is too soft, but New York water is just right. And that's why all the bread tastes so much better. So there you
go,
New
York. The biggest thing with the pizza,
I concede to you, is you have the best bread.
Man. I'm going to have to go there.
Don't talk to me about sports teams, all right? We got that on lock.
I know you got your little thing there, but the biggest thing about pizza is people always say it's the toppings. It truly is the crust.
The crust.
It
because
is.
You know what? Anyone can do the cheese and the sauce
right?
and the toppings. Anyone, like, you, I could match that. A cheese, maybe not so much, depending, but
to be
I
fair,
feel like,
the
for the
sauce.
Most part...
The sauce can make or break a pizza just as fast as a crust
can. It
can,
but I feel like most places can get that right, and it really comes down to the crust, and that's how New York wins out most of the time.
How fascinating is that? When you think about the complexity of the pizza, and I love that naturally, this became the episode in many ways right now, where notice how people always talk about the cheese, yet when you think about what is easier to just replicate, because you can just buy any cheese, but the sauce is so key. And then we talked about the crust. So the cheese is what everybody talks about, because when you bite, that's what you see like being pulled, the mozzarella. Yet it's arguably the least important or least interesting ingredient from the entire pizza.
Yet it can be so key. I mean, a good crust can really make or break a pizza. I mean, think about some people were... against when Domino's changed their crust. But to me, when they added the seasoning to the crust, I thought it was infinitely better.
I agree.
So what's your take? Well, I'm gonna go just 1 mile deeper into this. Mm-hmm. We talked about deep dish, pan pizza, thin crust, Chicago style, New York style. Is there a particular pizza style, regardless of where you get it from? Is there a go-to where you're just like, I really want this specific pizza, not just any kind. Is there one you'd like to choose in particular?
I have some pizza places that are kind of my go-tos that are kind of local, so it's not like people would know what they are. But for style, it's not one that you can easily get to. Like I said, the coal fire style, I think, is generally the best tasting style to me. I haven't had too much Chicago real deep dish. I legitimately paid like $60 to order a friggin' Chicago style pizza over the internet.
And how does that arrive? I've always been curious about that, because we can't do that in Puerto Rico.
Basically in dry ice in this little like styrofoam container. So it's pretty good. I enjoyed it, but obviously I'm not doing it justice. I plan on going, I might go to Chicago this summer. So, you know, I'm going to hit up as many pizza places as possible. But yeah,
I'm going to Chicago this summer as well. Yeah. We should talk.
Pokemon Go Fest, man. I'm going for Go Fest because I'm a nerd. But if my go-to would probably be coal fire, but it's generally more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, you know, you might pay $20 for just a cheese pizza. So it's not like your casual, hey, we're watching TV, let's just get a pizza delivered. It's more of a, hey, let's go to a restaurant and get a really good pizza.
There's a pizza place from back home in Winnipeg that I miss so much. It's called Zaz, like Zaz. And it's basically the Subway equivalent of pizza, where you like, you choose your crust, you choose your sauce, you choose your toppings.
That's such a good idea.
And then like, you don't pay extra for the toppings. And then once you're done making your pizza, they put it in a coal fire oven. They cook it for 15 minutes and they give you a pizza. And it's dirt cheap. It's like $11 for a pizza. I miss it so much. It's such a good idea.
We need to open a franchise in the U.S.
Yes. Agreed.
No, we have that in Puerto Rico as well, which, by the way, talking about this at almost 10 p.m., my time here is like the worst idea ever.
I haven't had dinner, and it's like 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Wait, now that I think of it...
I'm starving.
LeBron James has that Blaze pizza. I think it's a similar concept, but it's more like low calorie-ish pizza, I think, depending on what you get. I think it is a similar style, but it doesn't sound nearly as amazing as you made that place sound.
So you talked about possibly going to Chicago and Keith as well. So I guess I wanted to just sort of take advantage of that. Do you guys like arcades? Like physically going, like the experience of going to an arcade, you hearing all the machines, the heat, the unnecessary heat and unnecessary energy being spent from them?
Yes. Yeah. Like there's two types of arcades these days. There's ticket arcades and then there's game arcades. I hate ticket arcades. I think they're the worst. I hate the people in them.
I don't know. I
kind
of like them.
I hate everything about them. Like I hope Skee-Ball dies as far as I'm concerned. But like,
do we all have access to Dave and Buster's here?
No.
We have one here.
We don't have Dave and Buster's in Canada.
I have, like two towns over from me.
Okay. Do you have anything like that, Keith?
We have this place called the Rec Room, which is like a, it's more adult oriented where it's a bar, and like a restaurant. And then there's like an arcade area. Then like after 9 PM, it's like a no kids allowed policy, but it's still, it's kind of a mix of the two where they have
that
ticket
sounds
games.
Like Dave and Buster's.
Oh, does Dave and Buster's have like a no kids policy?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same thing. Where you can kind of drink.
Okay. So it's exactly Dave and Buster's, and like half of it's ticket games and the other half is like, okay, here's eight things of Mario Kart set up so you can have an eight person Mario Kart thing, or here's a Pac-Man Battle Royale or Street Fighter 4. Or
this sounds exactly like Dave and Buster's. They have all those
pretty much.
Okay.
If you look at the Raw Thrills machines, I think that's the company that really works in all that. And the reason that I bring that up is that in Chicago they have something called the Galloping Ghost Arcade, which I had the pleasure of going there after Hurricane Maria, which is a nice contrast, you know?
Yeah,
Hurricane
just a
destroyed Puerto Rico. So this place is amazing. It's the world's largest arcade in North America. And I think it's maybe overall right now. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But I went there. It's like you pay 10 to 20 bucks. I forget the amount. And it's unlimited play for the entire day. And I actually made a video on my YouTube channel and like it spiked because people love that place. And apparently they even expanded. And what's really cool is that Midway's offices, Midway, like the game company, Mortal Kombat, apparently
NFL
they develop.
Blitz.
Oh, dude. NFL. Yeah. I don't care about NFL.
But Blitz,
like,
man.
Football, but Blitz, is a hell dude. That is game. Awesome. They have a Blitz machine, actually. Now that you mentioned that, they do have that. But
lights
Midway
out,
was apparently not too far down from where that is. So they actually have Mortal Kombat, like the original actors, like Daniel and everybody else from the staff. They go there for autograph signings. So it's like an awesome place that if you love arcade machines, it is so overwhelming. Like, have you guys ever played Smash TV?
Oh, I love Smash
or
TV.
Captain that was my first time playing it, dude. I had never played it. Why
is
that game so good? So it's like a top-down twin-stick shooter.
I
but it's like
also played like Smash TV really late in life. I played a lot of Robotron as a kid, and I thought that was Smash TV, but then I went back and played it. If you don't know what Smash TV, it's like a top-down shooter where it's one of those ones where you can shoot in all directions, and you're kind of in a room, and you need to clear waves to move on to the next room, and you get power-ups and stuff like that. And then eventually
super
you'll
bloody.
Hit a boss. It's super bloody, super violent. They really play up to that. Smash TV is a great game.
So if you guys could play like just a random arcade game for whatever reason now, is there one that you would love to just go back to? Is there anyone that you did go back to back in the day?
I would say my favorite arcade game of all time is Tekken 3. Where I never owned Tekken 3 for the PS1, but God, I must have put about $300 into my... or in like my local my local Tekken 3 machine at a place called Topo Gijo's in Winnipeg.
Topo?
It's an interesting name.
How do you
name.
Spell that? Yeah.
I couldn't tell you. I wonder if Topo Gijo still exists. I'll have to look.
Say that 10 times. What about you, Ryan?
I'm kind of old school in that I love the claw machine games. I just really like winning the prizes. And I think... This past summer, I went up, I think it was actually Labor Day weekend, I went up to New Hampshire. Interestingly, there's Fun Spot there, which is actually one of the biggest arcades in the country that was featured in King of Kong, the documentary about the Donkey Kong arcade game.
Yeah.
But there was also in Laconia, New Hampshire, there's Ware's Beach. It's kind of like a strip where near the ocean, and they have some arcades kind of open that you can kind of walk into and whatever. And there was they add a bunch of Pokemon plushes in some of these claw machine games. And yes, there's like a Wobbuffet somewhere behind me and an Eevee that I ended up winning up on that shelf in the back. Yeah, because of that. And there was some other, they had some Gen 7 starters that I was desperately trying to win, but they just weren't in good positions. But yeah, that was a big one. And one I haven't played in a long time, but my cousin and I, in that same arcade when we were kids, when we used to go to New Hampshire, we were super addicted to Time Crisis, which you played on the console. It's not the same as the arcade with the pedal and the gun.
Which one did you like? Because we had the first
Time Crisis. We've had 4. Like 5. I think 4 was the one I played a ton.
I love to play the second one, but my favorite arcade game, and I remember there was a place in Puerto Rico called Umagao. Like now that's got Sam's Club, that's got Walmart, but back in the day, Umagao was only known for the beach. So you go there to the beach, and there was this one, not even like coffee shop, it's just like, you know, this souvenir / grocery shop.
Okay.
But for whatever reason, they had a Knights of the Round machine. And that was the and a Metal Slug. Knights of the Round and Metal Slug, and that combo right there, because with Metal Slug, I love the sprites, the animation, that when you shot, that you saw the gun recoil. It was super fun, engaging. You could play that a multiplayer. And then Knights of the Round, I loved because of the fact that, I don't know if you guys played it, but as you leveled up your character, you would actually see the armor change. And I love me some old school beat 'em up, so I love those two games.
Guys, real talk, I want to open up a barcade one day. I think that's my life goal, to make enough money to open
They're
up a barcade.
They're becoming surprisingly popular. There was another barcade type place that actually opened in Boston I went to a couple of years ago. It was really small, but it had, they really packed a lot of games in a pretty small area. You really, as our generation, the millennials, have kind of come into drinking age and are now kind of young professionals in the working world, I feel like we're the generation that's not gotten away from video games. We never grew out of them. So it makes sense that you're seeing more and more of this pop up, because
I mean, we're the first generation
video games
of that. That's a thing. Like maybe a few years older than us, but the Atari wasn't around till what, the 80s, right? So people our age are the ones, like we're the prototype for that.
A lot of people kind of grew out of it, but I feel like people our age and younger, it's something that's stuck with us that hasn't left.
I think especially when you go back to like NES, because I think it's like from NES and after, did you had not just great games, but like memorable characters like Mario, etc. So like, I mean, nowadays you go down the street, what do you see? Mario shirts, Zelda shirts. Like in the 90s, that would be seen as a
Minecraft creeper.
Yeah, somebody never see that stuff. Ugh. Like they barely had any Zelda merchandise when I was a kid. Now it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know,
just type Zelda merchandise. And okay, something that I've always been curious about. Do you guys know how there's all these websites that sell retro themed gaming shirts? But I guarantee you, they have probably no licensing from like Nintendo and stuff. So,
oh yeah,
how do they get away with it?
Go to a Comic-Con and see how many bootleg ass T-shirt stores there
yeah.
are. Like there was, there's just people at the Comic-Con that's near me that straight up just have a booth with a printer and will print any copyright material onto a T-shirt. I bought a Metal Gear Foxhound T-shirt from them, and I didn't realize till after, like, huh. Probably illegal. And I think it's just a case of they can't, unlike Pokemon, you can't catch them all, so they can keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're small scale and kind of under the radar, not that I'm advising anyone, but you could probably get away with it.
So talking about like Comic-Cons and stuff, to sort of begin to close this off, we've talked about pizza, arcade. You guys have gone, I mean, we've collectively gone to WrestleMania, talking about like these big spectacles. Talking about movies, video games, is there like a big event that you really see yourself wanting to go? Because as time has gone by, we have Twitch now, right? So you can go to an E3, but arguably it's actually easier and better and more productive to stay at home than it is to fly out to California. So now, with all that accessibility, is there something you feel it's actually worth going to? That you haven't?
Well, I stated earlier, I'm going to go to I'm going to try to go to GoFest, the Pokemon Go event that they, if they do it again in Chicago, like they have the past 2 years, it should be pretty fun. It's a good excuse to travel and go to Chicago. Like I said, I want to try the pizza anyway. But normally they do an event there for the game. Ton of people show up. They have all these kind of special spawns and stuff, and it's a good way to just hang out with like-minded people who also enjoy the game. It's another one of those type of community events that I think could be really fun. The first event that they did was a total disaster.
Oh my God, I'll never forget that.
They were completely unprepared for it, but it seems like last year went really well. They knew kind of everything that they needed to have. I'm sure they had the extra cell phone towers this time, because last time it was a total disaster.
That a convention about a phone game was so overloaded that people's phones wouldn't work is just the sweetest thing in the world.
Yeah,
you had one job.
Mm-hmm. And for
what about you, Keith?
For myself, I've never been to PAX yet, so PAX is a big one for me. But beyond that, like, I'm not the person to seek out Comic Cons or seek out things. Like, I've been to a few WrestleManias. I've been to three now. I think I'm done with WrestleMania at this point. But the local Comic Cons and stuff like that, I'll always go to. Like, as an example, I found out this weekend, and I'm kind of freaking the hell out about it. Kenny Omega's going to be at London Comic Con this year, and I nearly shat myself when I found out, because I'm just so excited about it. So stuff like that I'll always go do. There's rumors that there's another huge Comic Con around me called Niagara Comic Con that's in Niagara Falls. There are rumors that The Undertaker going to be there. Can't not do that, right? So I won't...
That $25,000 appearance.
Exactly. Yeah.
Show that out, Keith.
So stuff like that I will definitely do if it's in like a close distance to me. But after doing a few WrestleManias, like, I kind of stray away from it in the way that all of the holidays that I've taken pretty much over the last decade really have been to go to an event, to go do something. I think I'm hitting a point where I just want to take a holiday to go to a place and do whatever I
relax.
Feel like not
actually
feel
relax.
Yeah, relax and not be on a schedule, like, hey, I gotta hit this event at this time, that event at that time. After a while, it just kind of, you get over it. So beyond PAX, I don't see me doing much more of that. Like, I will probably never go to San Diego Comic-Con or something like that, and I am perfectly okay with it.
Yeah, I first went to a PAX last year. I went to PAX West, right? Yeah, PAX West. And that is exhausting. Like, you know, there's the saying that you need a vacation from the vacation. And it's absolutely true, because there is so much to do that by like the second day, you're just thinking to yourself, like, dude, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of walking and the people and the smells and all the different situations that are just awful, because people don't like to wear deodorant. We talked about that in the best ofs. That's not a best of moment, but we talked about it in the best of episode. I do want to make that clear right now, but
good clarification.
I would love to go to PAX East, because I mean, not only would I get to meet,
I'm waiting for
Ryan
you guys.
Again. Yeah,
I'm waiting.
I'm sorry, I'm right here. I was going to this year, but then SummerSlam is in Toronto.
I thought you said you were done with the friggin' wrestling events. What
there
the
was
hell,
an
man?
Asterisk, Ryan.
I said I was done traveling for WrestleMania or for wrestling events.
Oh. Fair enough.
Toronto's 2 hours from me, so
I
want to
see you
count.
Here 2020 then.
I will.
We gotta work something.
I will
out.
Do my best. We'll talk after the show, because we could plan our Chicago trips near each other.
Oh,
and I can just enjoy the pictures on social media and cry, because this is the saving year. This is the year to save some of that money, guys. So I got to be doing that. But I love that we had the sit down and just totally random conversation.
Yeah,
that just
we
naturally
didn't even
flowed
hit from what we wanted to talk about. But we'll save that for next time.
Yeah, topics on my plate that, hey, we can save it for another time.
Exactly. But guys, if you want us to do more episodes like this, whether you're watching or listening, please let us know with a thumbs up on YouTube. Consider subscribing to the channel. Super important. You hear this on other channels, but it's true. That notifications bell on the right side, YouTube is super annoying, because subscribing is not enough. Subscribing only puts you in the list of subscriptions. The notifications bell is what actually allows you to see the new videos that come out. And if you're on your favorite podcast app, you can send us a 5-star review. And don't forget to join our Discord channel at acastofthepast.com/discord. We're also across all social media. You can feel free to share the different clips that we work on for the show. We just want to make sure that this is fun. So that's why we took this time to just talk about literally anything. And it seems like we, at some point, we got to go to an arcade together and have some of that pizza. So
agreed.
That's 2030. A cast of the past 2030.
We'll go to a barcade. We're gonna make that happen. I'll get schmammered. Y'all can play some video games.
No, actually, what's going to happen is you got to open up the damn barcade so Ryan and I can freeload off of you.
True. All right. Done.
Ryan, you got to make sure this episode goes up on YouTube just for historical purposes.
So will do. It is exactly. In the record books.
But guys, don't forget you can check out our backlog talking about A Link to the Past, the Resident Evil 2 remake, the original Resident Evil. We talk about the Super Mario Brothers movie. We have a wide variety of episodes available. So the evolution of this podcast, known as A Cast of the Past, will continue as we cover 80s, 90s, and so much more. So Keith, because this is off the rails, I'm gonna break the cycle of A Cast of the Past and leave people with a positive note about life, as only Keith could do.
Do I have to say something motivational?
Yep.
Keith
has to.
Every day is a new beginning, so take the darkness of yesterday and let it lead you into the light of tomorrow.
Wow.
That's almost like a real saying.
Yeah. It's almost like he probably saw that this morning from a coffee cup and said it. But thanks for watching, everybody. Hi. Bye.